I'm John Alpha from Green Books, and we are delighted to publish a transition guide. Pete, many of you will have met, a lot of you have already bought his book. You'll be very, very happy to sign them. Whether you bought them already or whether you wish to buy them now, I will be back there in a sec. And Pete's done a fantastic amount of research, and we're delighted basically to publish this book. He'll say a few words in a sec. Before he does, this is the last chance to buy books. We won't be here tomorrow. And if you're from a transition group and want to order 5 books, 10 books or whatever, you can get them a special price if you phone our office, or you can go to a website, which is transitionbooks.net. So without further ado, Pete's going to say a few words.
Thank you very much, John. I know it's been a very, very busy couple of days, quite thoughtful, quite stressful in some senses, so I won't talk for a huge amount of time. Just I wanted to thank John and thank Rob Hopkins and the Transition Towns team for, you know, giving me the contract to publish this. I actually first heard about alternative currencies in 1992. I was doing a Master's in Peace Studies at Bradford University, and we did a course on the peaceful economy, and we read Small is Beautiful, E.F. Schumacher's work, and made a think about what a sane, humane and ecological rather than a high-tech and exploitative economy might look like. I heard Michael Linton, who first designed Let's Scheme, giving a presentation in Bradford, I think it was, or Huddersfield, in 1992. And I remember it was very much a feeling for me, much like some of us would have had when we had Stoney's talk yesterday, or if you think back to your peak oil moment or your climate change moment. I suddenly thought, wow, is it actually the case that the money we use is just a piece of paper? It's just a social construction that we all agree to use? And if that is the case, is it the case that we can create alternative forms of currency from ourselves? And to be honest, I didn't know. I thought part of it sounded sensible, part of it sounded a little bit far-fetched. So I then started what then turned into 3 years' study of alternative currencies. I'm very lucky. I managed to get funding to do a PhD on Manchester Let's in the 1990s. Since then, I've been to Hungary, New Zealand, Argentina, United States, Canada, looking at all these different forms of currencies all the way around the world. And you see them working in many different environments. You know, some of the UK and New Zealand Let's schemes have been going now for 20 years with people.
And Australia.
People trading with each other, sorting each other out, making friends, living the sort of community that they want to do. 20 years before Transition Towns was talking about very similar sorts of politics. If you're living in a community where there's many people that are a bit socially excluded, there's poorer parts of town, there's people who want to be doing useful things while the funding is drying up, time banks have been shown to work. Having that economy of family, community, commitment, on top of which the real money economy of business sits on top of it. I think somebody was absolutely right when they asked a businessman what was the economical cost of the fact that his workers are toilet trained by their parents. Absolutely true. Without this sort of economy, none of it would work. Went to Hungary and saw people that thrown off Russian domination in the 1990s, not wanting to replace rule by the party with rule by the market, and wanting to have another world, and using alternative currencies as a way to recreate an old Hungarian tradition called kalaka, where people would get together and build each other houses, set up businesses in the evenings, and work on their allotments and look after each other, which was the real economy on top of the socialist economy that nobody really paid too much attention to. Went to Ithaca recently. If Totnes is sometimes described as being twins with Narnia, Ithaca in America describes itself as 10 square miles surrounded by reality. So saw money based on hours there, with 900 individuals and businesses trading that with each other. Went to New Zealand, all sorts of currencies going on there. Then finally going to Argentina in 2001 and seeing what can happen when an economy really does fall apart. You go along to the cash point and you say, could I get my money out? And it tells you, you've got money there, but you can't have it because the money's being used to pay back the debt. That's what really happened in Argentina. People finding it so hard to get through that in rural areas, people had extreme hunger, some even died of starvation. But I saw communities coming together, creating their own forms of currency, hundreds of thousands of little markets all the way across Argentina where people were trading with each other, connecting up, supporting each other. it was interesting. A lot of the men were writing, the women were getting on with the real life of building the economy and getting it going. So if you want to see what things can look like in a real extreme crisis, people get through it. It's not the end of the world. It's not quite as bad as people might think. But I hope the book's useful for people that want to set up local currencies. Setting up a Totnes pound or a Lewis pound can be quite daunting. But you don't have to do that. You can set up a LET scheme very, very easily. If you want to set up a time bank, there's all sorts of support available from Time Banks UK. It's very easy. Why not experiment with a currency based on time in the UK? We don't have that as yet. Ithaca Owl's type model. The people doing the Totnes pound and the Lewis pound have worked a lot out. But what about new forms of energy, based on kilowatt hours, or based on the resources that we really need in our community, the wood we burn, the food we grow, the energy we use? Why not have alternative forms of currency in the future? And why not use these alternative currencies to develop the sorts of businesses we want in our community? Not put up the sort of businesses we've got at the moment, but really start to relocalise our economies, set up new forms of business, use the local form of currency to fund those. Start setting up local banks, extending our credit unions, having local community development corporations, pulling it all together, have all sorts of interesting financial institutions. We need things to do. Why not issue local bonds to fund some of the things we want to do? Why not use LETs or time money to start the great reskilling that we're doing at the moment? All those skills that we've all got in our communities can be really well unleashed using the LETs scheme. Start to pull it together. So, as I say, it's about 18 years of work has gone into this. Some people say, why is the lawyer paid 20 times more than the cleaner? And the lawyer will say, well, because 18 years of work has gone into your 1 hour of advice. And with the cleaner, that's not quite the same. Well, there is 18 years of work gone into this. I've really enjoyed working on it. I've worked bloody hard on it. As John knows, it took some time to get it absolutely right, and green books were quite right to come back and say, that needs to be clearer. A bit negative there. Be sure what you're talking about it. So I do hope you'll enjoy it, and if anybody wants to ask me questions now or over a beer, or if anybody wants to sign a copy, I'd be very happy to do that. But have fun with local currencies, because they are great fun. Okay. Pete will be over there signing copies if you would like a copy signed. But then I'll be gone in about half an hour. Or if anybody's got any questions, come up and talk to me now.
At Portugal, I haven't read this. Do you go into the subject of using airtime on phones to exchange value, which is happening in certain places?
I talk about M-Pesa, which is a mobile phone technology in Kenya funded by the DFID, where if you've got some money and you're in one village, you need to transmit it to a relative in another part of Kenya, you phone it through on your mobile phone. Kieran's here somewhere, there he is. Yeah. Kieran can talk to you about some of the plans they're planning with the mobile phone technology in Bristol. So absolutely, that might be the future. On the other hand, do we want to be reliant on the four mobile phone companies for something that we need for an energy power down? I'm not sure.
Very resilient, aren't they?
You might say that. But I think there's an issue there, definitely. But it's in the book, yeah.
How do you deal with the issue that if local money is successful, it could decrease general tax revenues and consolidate the tax base? And there are things we need to pay for.
Yeah, local currencies, two answers to that. One, the local currencies that we have at the moment, you still have to pay your tax in pounds, dollars and euros. So you still have to do that. It's been years and years and years. Think of a country vet looking after a cow. The farmer doesn't have any money. Gives the tax office a pound of butter for his services. The tax office knows what a pound of butter is worth, and that's what you have to pay in tax. So it's not a tax avoidance thing whatsoever. In fact, a lot of it's in things like time banks and lets, it's all written down there. The other way around it would be some places they're talking with local authorities about you being able to pay your council tax or your parking charges in alternative currencies. It could be that we start to get local councils definitely start to accept local currencies. So I don't think it does actually decrease tax revenues. I think it makes a lot of the work that goes on, which is hidden away, a little bit more visible. And in an era of public spending cuts, government's going to love that. Okay, thanks a lot. Any more questions, come out and check with you over the bar or quite a bit of sudden. Okay, cheers.